He stood a couple of inches over 6 feet and was broad-shouldered. He also turned at Mildred's approach, and she saw, with no surprise at all, that he had a patch over his left eye. The man wore a long coat of dark leather with a white fur trim, and a white silk scarf was looped around his neck. Next to her father stood a young boy, barely 5.5 feet tall, also with the most amazing hair. Whereas the woman's hair was like living fire, this was like spun snow, like the frozen spray off the highest waterfall, cascading over his neck and shoulders. The boy wore nondescript pants and a peculiar patched jacket of leather and canvas.
Hi, Mildred.
It crossed her mind to wonder how the teenager knew her name, although he did seem somehow familiar to her. She took a few steps nearer the group and then stopped, stricken.
Oh.
The pain came swirling back, sucking at her mind, knocking it off center. She was suddenly dizzy and took several slow, deep breaths, fighting off the pangs of nausea. This time the pain was like clawed fingers scraping at the inside of her skull.
You okay, Mildred?
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan. Just a... Better lay off the martinis for a spell, I guess.
Want to sit down?
Thanks, JB. But I'll be fine.
I fear that all is not well with the doctor lady. Perchance the physician should heal herself.
The speaker was the oldest of the group. He was as tall as Ryan, the one-eyed man, but much skinnier. He wore a stained and faded frock coat of Victorian cut and cracked knee boots. He also sported an ebony cane with its silver top carved into the head of a lion. The man smiled and half-bowed, showing excellent teeth that were at odds with his lined face and long gray hair. Mildred bowed back.
Thanks a lot, Doc. Courteous and useless as ever.
At the back of her mind was a slight bewilderment at how she knew these five strangers. The girl was called Christy Roth, and the boy with the snowy hair was Jack Lauren. She knew that.
How do I know these people?
Your father wants to see you, Mildred.
Mildred wondered, with so many of the civil rights leaders there, why her father was sitting still and silent in his old chair. Like many black Baptist ministers in the South, Reverend Wyeth had been active on all of the marches, as had Mildred's mother.
But my father is already...
Dead.
How's that?
Dead on my feet. Double bushed. Could do with a rest someplace.
Let's go get some eats, Lover. Come on, folks. Leave Mildred and her father to a little privacy.
The five friends walked away across the grass, nodding and smiling to the groups of people talking and eating in the soft moonlight. Mildred watched them go, closing her eyes against the surging waves of sickness that swam up behind her temples. Her nostrils filled with the familiar scent of charcoal and grilled chicken. The lower branches of the magnolias seemed to dip around Mildred, closing her off with her father from the noise of the gathering.
Daddy?
Around her, the party was fading into stillness. It was as if someone had thrown a vast cloak of black velvet over Mildred and the silent figure in the garden chair.
Daddy? It's Mildred. Mildred Wynonia Wyeth, your little girl.
The smell of burning from the barbecue behind her was stronger. Whoever was in charge of the cooking had been very careless and allowed some of the meat to scorch. Mildred wrinkled her nose and swallowed to try to clear her throat of the stench of burned flesh, but it seemed to be growing thicker.
Oh, we best move, Daddy. That smells horrible.
She moved to the front of the chair and stooped down to look directly into her beloved father's dark brown eyes.
Come on, Daddy, we can...
What sat slumped in the seat was not remotely like her father, only barely resembling anything that had ever been human. It was like a thick, blackened log that had been drawn, still burning, from the center of a fire. There were a few charred rags hanging on the outside of the log and draped off the two branches that sprouted near the top and the two that dangled from the lower half. Smoke curled upward, and parts of the log still glowed ruby bright. The head was like a round black stone with charcoal pits where the eyes had been seared from their sockets. The mouth hung open, showing the startling whiteness of her father's teeth.
Oh! Sweet Jesus Christ! Oh, Daddy, what have they done to you?
The head moved, and sour, ashen breath soughed from the ruined lips. A hand trembled, the fingers like twigs from an old bonfire. The the leathery skin cracked open, and bright crimson blood flowed down over the flame-torn flesh, dripping onto the faded stripes of the canvas chair.
Takes more than fire to kill a man.
It's all right, it's all right. Come on, Mildred.
Mildred kept her eyes closed. That way she wouldn't be tricked again. If she opened them, then the charnel horror that had once been her father might rise grinning before her.
It's been a bad jump for her lover. You gotta remember, it's her first.
Yeah. Come on, Mildred. She's trying to say something, but nothing's coming out.
Try getting her on her feet, Ryan.
Looks like she's in deep shock, JB. Maybe safer to leave her be for a while.
Could be the result of the freezing. She seemed well when we thawed her out, but now...
Mayhap if we were to slap her face. I would be happy to volunteer for the opportunity.
Oh, go take a flying fuck at a rolling donut, Doc.
Mildred cautiously eased open her left eye. She saw Ryan Cotter kneeling by her side.
Welcome back to Deathlands.
She tried to sit up, but dizziness and sickness came rolling in over her, and she lay down again.
Oh, goddamn! Inside my head feels like it's been put on double spin and then vacuum packed for my personal protection.
Let me help you sit up. There. Better? It'll pass. Some are worse than others.
Jack grinned and brushed his fine white hair back off his narrow face.
Yeah, none of them fucking good.
I'll willingly affirm that. Though I confess that I am sorry to see so little improvement in your temperament, ma'am.
What was the problem? You were screaming like a kid.
The 36-year-old black woman shook her head.
I should have known it was a dream, Ryan. I was less than 1 year old when my daddy was butchered. But I've seen plenty of film clips and pictures of him before that happened. So that's what I was expecting when... It's just that I saw him, dead, like a burned log.
J.B. Dix, fedora perched atop his head, leaned into Mildred while polishing his glasses.
Racists killed him, did they?
The Klan. The mid-60s were busy times for the knights with their white sheets and their burning crosses.
What's the Klan?
Ku Klux Klan. Redneck bigots. Only a year or so before I was born, one of them put a bomb under the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Went off and slaughtered 4 little girls. Children! Dynamite Bob Shambliss was what he called himself. But the white folks protected their own, and it was 14 goddamn years before he finally went down for the murder. 14 years!
The silvered glass walls of the chamber let in filtered, shadowy light. The metal discs in floor and ceiling had cooled and dimmed. The 5 others, hardened by previous jumps, were ready to move out, but Mildred still seemed shaky.
Dynamite Bob. I was born 8 days after Christmas in 1964. The Klan burned Daddy alive less than a year after. May they rot in hell.
Did this just... 'cause black? Not mutie or nothing?
No. Not a mutie, Jack. Just a decent man who'd gotten angry and felt he'd eaten enough crow to last him. He got to preaching to folks to stand up, not just sit patient. Stand up and take what belonged. And the Klan didn't like that, so they firebombed our house.
Did they catch them in the end, Mildred?
Oh, they got caught. But the law didn't do it. Sheriff was brother to one of the bombers and cousin to the other two.
So, how did...
My father had some friends. Some good... good friends, who knew that the Klan had a real tight hold on things down there. So the 3 men who did the bombing had an accident. Real nasty. All 3 got burned alive. Seems a gas canister blew in the auto repair shop one of them owned. Lock sort of jammed. You know how it can be.
Sure. We know how it can be, Mildred. We know.
None of the others had suffered too badly from the jump. Jack had a nosebleed, and Doc felt a nagging headache behind his eyes, but apart from that, they were in good shape. Mildred recovered quickly, joining the others as Ryan opened the gateway door.
Clear. I can see through to the main control. Looks all sealed and working good.
everyone holstered their blasters. The small anteroom that was present in virtually every redoubt was bare of furniture, as were most of them. The evacuation before Skydark began had obviously been planned.